teachers by day and ghost hunters at night. Comedians with a spooky podcast delight. Best friends diving into the unknown. Haunted halls where eerie winds have blown. Lost and scared with every tale we share. Two moms on a ghost and paranormal.
So where we left off last week with Amy Carlson's Galactic Federation of Light, or Love Has Won, cult practices, is that Amy Carlson is not feeling all that great. And so today we are going to let you in on the second half of the story. Well, Amanda's going to let me in on the second half of the story, and together we'll find out just what happens to Amy Carlson and her cult followers. Thanks for joining us at the Paranormal Classroom.
Amy Carlson begins to reportedly have like poor health, really poor health. She's not eating. It's likely she's abusing alcohol and drugs, and she's treating herself with medicine, which is more alcohol and colloidal silver, and she's refusing food because all this she thinks is going to heal her. Because Robin Williams
what is
tells
it,
her
we're going to do bloodletting next week. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know where they get their information. Remember, she's got her oracles. She's like given a couple women the power of being oracles.
It almost sounds like she's been suckered by her own suckering.
Yes.
She's got people in this cult who are slowly but very assuredly, probably this money dude, taking over.
Yeah.
And she's fragile enough mentally and emotionally mm-hmm. that she is taking their, she thinks it's worship. When really it is manipulation to,
yeah,
they're going to start spinning the wheel here.
Yeah. Oh, you've just nailed the whole, you've nailed it. So I'm excited that you put two and two together. So she's getting sick, really sick, probably from alcoholism and anorexia. And she is taking colloidal silver like crazy. Do you know what, you know, your daughter got prescribed colloidal mm-hmm. silver.
I never really understood the science. So tell me what you know.
Well,
is it supposed to bond to the things that are gross in your body, like that you don't want floating around, free agents or whatever they call them?
I don't really know how
it
works.
It's something like that. And I don't know how you purge it.
I know that like minerals can be healthy, right? Like iron and,
but you can iron's OD naturally on, in them. And on good things too, right?
You can.
So what does colloidal mean? I don't know. I never looked it up, but it just didn't feel right, so I didn't give it to my kid.
Yeah, I think colloidal has something to do with how it's processed, and so it's like it's like so tiny. They make it so tiny. It's not like you're eating chunks of silver,
right?
You're not like swallowing rings or whatever.
Right, right, right. It's like in a
liquid.
It was in a liquid form. It was definitely a spray for in our case. I still have it.
Well, I would.
I'm not
going
to be doing anything. No, I'm never going to. But for some reason, I've hung on to it.
Right.
I don't know why. I know exactly where it is too. And we never used it. I was just like, this feels like snake oil. It was very expensive.
Yeah.
But this feels not right. And so I didn't give it to my kid.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Amy was chugging like bottles of it a day.
Oh my gosh.
Bottles of it a day. And she's in like extreme pain. Her liver's probably failing. And she's like just chugging these bottles. And her disciples are giving her more. They're like, drink more, drink more, drink more.
They are.
I don't know if you know this, but if you drink a lot of colloidal silver,
do you turn blue?
You turn blue.
Yeah.
Permanently.
I would guess. That's a guess, but yeah.
Permanently. But it doesn't ever go away. It stays in your body. You could be blue forever. Yeah.
She changes her name to Violet Beauregard.
That's what I wrote that down because I'm totally like, it's like watching her at Willy Wonka.
But she's this like anorexic version that was just really frightening.
Yeah.
That's like bizarro.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka.
And remember, all of this is being filmed because Amy's being
recorded
24/7 by her disciples. And so people are able to watch live stream
family.
Real time and her family watching her
they can do.
Turn blue and get skinnier
waste
and skinnier
away.
And get weaker and weaker. She's dying. She's basically dying. She gets to the point where she can't walk. She's in extreme pain. She's sleeping a lot. She's miserable. It's all being recorded. And this is where it gets really, really, really sick to me. Because her disciples consider this to be an ascension. Like she's...
Like Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. Just like that. And they're like watching her wither away with elation and joy. It's really, really freaky. It's the freakiest part of the documentary.
She's going to become a super being, like,
yeah,
seated at the right hand level, yep. Holy Spirit kind of.
Yes.
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Wow.
They believed that she was going to be taken up by Robin Williams in the starship and then reincarnated and come back to, like, save humanity. Like, they truly believe that. So they're just waiting for it. They're like, any day now, she's going to ascend. They'd use the word ascend. And they're just watching this woman. Just
at no point, nobody was like, we should sneak her out to a hospital.
No, because they thought the hospital was run by the cabal and stuff. But here's what's... Oh, it just gets worse, Lindsay. So Amy, at some point, when she's near the end, she starts begging them to take her to the hospital.
No!
Yes, she does. She starts begging them to take her to the hospital. She starts saying things like, maybe I made it all up. You know, she knows that this is bad.
A lot of people in their end days have a reckoning.
Yeah.
And they will have deathbed confessions. They'll realize, oh my gosh, I was wrong. There is an afterlife. Like, I do believe in a higher power. Sounds like she knows, like, she's about to have to face the real reality.
Right. And do you think the disciples?
Of course not.
No, the disciples were, they're all so brainwashed and so ill at this time that they're just like, no, Amy, tough it out. You're going to, they called her Mother God. You're ascending. This is a good thing. They should have been charged for murder.
They absolutely should. They didn't get
No.
What?
No.
What was this labeled, a suicide?
Not, I don't know. That gets crazy too. So Amy does unfortunately pass away.
Because they are absolutely.
Absolutely, they're accountable for this.
What is that term? I'm sure somebody listening to the podcast is yelling at us right now. But when you are not an accomplice, but I think it's another A word. You're like adjacent to the crime, and I can't think of what the word is.
Accomplice?
It's not accomplice. It's like
someone is screaming at us right now.
You're complicit in it, and there's a word for it, but it doesn't matter, I guess. But they're absolutely guilty of not getting her help.
Absolutely. Oh, I was watching the documentary at this point, and I'm just like, nails in my legs, like, just, it's horrible to watch.
Wow.
And all the people on YouTube who were watching this, like, live.
Nobody called 911 and said...
Not that I know of. It's not in the documentary. It certainly, if anything was done, it didn't help because she ended up passing away.
Wow.
I know. It's tragic. But then, this is so... So she passes away and they continue caring for the body. They're carrying it around wherever they go. They're like, they made like a shrine for it on the bed. And they're like massaging it and giving it, like, I don't know what they did to this body, but the body ended up being mummified. So, whatever they did to this body, maybe it was all the colloidal silver. It's just like a purple body at this point.
Well,
right?
She blue. Didn't have it, probably like any fats
she had no
in
fat.
Her or liquids yep. or really anything. She was just bone and skin.
Yeah. And whatever happened to her body, she wasn't. This is so hard. I don't have
to. And they probably put a million lot triggers of on this. Oils. And
yeah.
Things like they
so
did
she's
in
not decomposing.
Egypt.
She's mummifying, and they're sitting there and they're like just praying and like any day the starship's gonna come. Robin Williams is gonna come. She's gonna ascend. And
how many days are we waiting?
They waited a long time because they're basically living with a mummy now and carrying a mummy around. And eventually, one of the guys, I think it was the guy who was in charge of their finances.
He's like, you know what? I think I hear my mom calling. Yeah, mom? Oh, yeah, I'll be right home for dinner.
Yeah.
Let me grab this giant bag of money real quick.
Eventually, one of the guys does report it to authorities. And it's all on film because it got captured on film by the police station.
And then he has that cartoon run where it's like... And he takes off running.
He's like, I got all the accounts. I got the passwords to the bank. I'm out of here. Yeah, he turned them in. He took the money and ran. Somebody took the money and ran. Yeah. And oh my gosh. And this is so crazy. So initially, they were going to be charged with things like
accessory to a crime. That's what
accessory,
I'm looking
that's the word. So they were going to be charged with. Hang on. It was like abuse of a corpse. They didn't even go with like the accessory to murder, which I think they should. I think they should have been charged with that.
Well, an abuse of a corpse is a strange set of laws to me, because it's, and I've recently listened to a long episodic podcast about a case where essentially like an undertaker, a crematorium, was not cremating the bodies. And they had hundreds of bodies piling up on this farm. And they were, the man there was, because their machines broke and he was overwhelmed. And it just, it's a whole complicated thing. And it's a very sad, sad community-based trauma for that community. But he was charged with like abuse of a corpse, desecration, of course, on hundreds of counts. But there was debate about, what does that even mean? It's a dead body. Like, no human is affected. Like, there's no living soul or person or brain or functioning organism affected. So it's a complicated thing because everybody knows it feels wrong. Like, you and I are like, this feels wrong.
Yeah.
But why? Why do we attribute that to it? Nobody really knows. Because in other animal worlds, like, think of that orca in the J-Pod, who carried her dead newborn orca baby around for a long, long time. We would never, like, the other orcas weren't like, this is sick, this is wrong. Wait. She was grieving.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a hard thing to package. Like, why do we feel like that's wrong?
Right.
What about it? What exactly is the abuse? They mummified her. They had flowers. They were still worshiping her. They kept her with them.
Yeah.
They, like, it was out of misplaced and sort of twisted, but love and adoration. So it's interesting to me that courts, any court would get to decide what qualifies as abuse of a non-living organism.
Well, maybe that's why the charges were dropped, because the charges were dropped. Hmm. So maybe someone made that same argument. Like, how do you prove that this is really abuse?
Yeah. In ancient Egypt, was all of that abuse? No, that was hero worship and honor, a cultural way of honoring their dead in most cases, right? The Egyptian leaders. So, or their, I would argue in some cases, abuse of animals, because they would kill the animals to accompany their owners. But to the afterlife. But I think, I'm not surprised it was thrown out or dropped, but I am surprised they were not, when it's on video, her asking for help.
Yes.
And they deny it. So
me
it's
too.
Not,
yes.
It's
crazy.
It's not even assisted suicide, which is also a crime in most states, but it's an accessory.
Yeah.
At least, or manslaughter in like third degree manslaughter. I'm no legal expert, but there's something about this is not right.
Right.
And I think that's probably obvious to everyone listening.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know exactly how you would categorize it.
I don't know. But like, the documentary continues to follow some of the disciples, because now they've just had the biggest like letdown of their.
No Robin Williams, no Starship.
Right.
And now we have legal troubles.
This is everything
and no
they believed
money.
In. And they don't have evidence that anything happened, right? So they end up just kind of sadly going back home to their families, but they still believe a lot of really wild things. Now some of them run a new website called 5D Full Disclosure.
Hmm. Okay.
So if you ever look it up, that would be
one
like
of the 5Ds.
Of the same people. 5D is like fifth dimension, right?
Oh.
Is it?
I'm
going to look it up. I'm afraid to look it up, but I'm going to look it up. 5D Full Disclosure.
That is the sound of research.
Well, they're dedicated to pure whole truth.
Well,
and
it's about time.
Leading humanity into the light. Yes, this is the girl. Okay, so if you go to the 5D Full Disclosure website, this main woman here is one of the oracles that was chosen by Amy to be an oracle, and she was given a name like,
oh God.
Yeah. She's still posting. She's still posting.
Here, play one. I want to hear
from
what
11 days ago.
Like, please.
Happy December, everybody. This is the first waivers report for the end of the year. I didn't get to do one in November, but that was kind of fitting. As November was a really kind of intense month. So if we recap the last couple of months, I had talked about how we entered the harvest portal on September 1st, right? And that was when Pluto entered the 29th degree of Capricorn again. And so between September, October, and then most of November, we were at that 29th degree. So we were in these kind of three phases of the harvest portal. And you know, September and October, I think we're like building up in terms of this harvest portal, right? September was the month that we were clearing out a lot of the karmic residue, if you will.
There She's was saying
a lot
nothing.
Of like karmic contracts to wrap up. There
but
was a lot of
look how long these are. And I mean, they just filmed their whole life, but she's
That's nothing. There was nothing.
There's no content
in there.
Yeah,
no, just words.
She's very clean. She's very pretty. She's very well spoken. Like, she doesn't.
She's had plastic surgery. She's had work. She's got Botox.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I know because I've just done it recently. She's got Botox head.
She does
Can't
not
move her eyebrows.
Come across to me as someone who would be mentally unstable at all. Like, she seems like someone that you would watch on, like, a Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, she's got that goop.
Well, that's a whole mess. That
Yeah. No. But all this, like, new age stuff, she just kind of seems like a perfectly fits right into that community. I can see how a lot of people listen to her,
but it's again that's the marketing. It is, you get these,
yeah,
get these pretty people with some wealth behind them or some sponsors of some kind, and our country, our culture responds to youth and beauty and almost anytime that's those are in play, people will listen. And you get enough marketing in there and you can sell anything.
Right. Right. You can make a living off of it. She doesn't have a ton of followers, subscribers.
That's still too many.
3,250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. But that's enough to make money off your videos,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yikes.
I am fascinated. I'm fascinated by it.
Oh, boy. It's too easy. It is too easy. I mean, it's a spiritual influencer. And influencers of any kind, whether it's fashion, beauty, entertainment, politics, just get on there. And for whatever reason, they're able to influence and encourage other people to follow their ways, whether it's to buy the things, to wear the things, do the things. Oh, marketing. We are such a consumeristic society as well. Mm-hmm. So here we are, it's that looking for love in all the wrong mm-hmm. places. Like, it's just right next to us. Yeah. If we all just treated everybody, and I am not great at this. I am not purporting that in any way, shape, or form. But I believe it. I'm just a flawed human being. If we all treated the people physically around us right now like they were the most important people in the world, I truly believe we would solve all of our problems.
Right.
And it's not that hard.
Right.
Like, it's active listening.
Yep.
It's asking what people need.
It's like
providing what you can.
Yeah.
Backing off when you need to.
Yeah.
And
just
being
kind. Like, choose a kind tone. Choose kind
words. If you
can't
be kind, like, be silent, I guess.
Yeah, be that's go really for hard. Being helpful instead of hurtful.
Yeah.
Like, ask yourself, is this helpful or hurtful?
And I realize I say this from a place of privilege, right? I'm not hungry, tired,
right,
lonely, addicted to drugs or alcohol, which are often tied to any of the previous three things I just said. I do have some chronic pain, but nothing like some people do. I have no terminal illness or anything like that. So I realize it is much easier for someone in my station in life to be like, we just need to love each other more. I realize that.
Yeah.
But I do believe we could do away with a lot of hunger, anger, and loneliness and pain if those of us in places of privilege treated everybody around us like they're the most important people in the world.
Right.
Because we can. We have the energy to. We have the means to.
Right.
But so many of us just don't because of greed or our crazy, busy life, our consumerism, are
right.
all these things, and we just are so self-centered most of the time, most of us.
Yeah.
And then there's people like you who are the opposite of that, but you're just so damn tired from all the self-centered people.
Yeah, I really feel like it sucks up my energy.
Yeah. Energy vampires.
Yeah. Man. And I'm not like perfect. I'm not kind all the time, but definitely I do feel like it sucks my energy, and I just want to be like an introvert and stay inside and kind of hide from people who I know are going to take advantage of me. And so it only works if everybody's on board.
Because yeah. Otherwise. And then my husband will say we'll never have world peace because it just takes one person to be greedy.
Oh yeah.
And it spirals from there.
Yeah.
It's the fall of humankind. Like we're just flawed. We're just flawed. And we have all the resources to have a utopic planet, but we never will because of greed and because of human insecurities.
Right.
But we can't control the whole world. We can't change the whole world. We can just try, like, in our little sphere of influence, like, smile when you wouldn't necessarily at someone in a grocery store, or just little stupid stuff like that. It does. I believe in the butterfly effect too.
Yeah.
Like maybe they'll smile at somebody else and on and on and on. Like,
yeah,
pass it on. We see it in the Starbucks line, right? If somebody pays for your order, like pay it forward to the next car behind you. And that will go for a while until you hit that person.
Yep.
Who's just like, sweet. They take it and run. Which they can.
Like, right.
It's set up for that. You have a choice. But most people, I think, would choose, whether out of obligation or out of true giving nature, to pass it on. But it just takes the one to stop the whole train.
Well, what if Amy Carlson was saying a lot of the same stuff that you're saying now? I mean, if you take out the really, really wackadoozle stuff, a lot of what she was saying was good, kind things.
It's where you get, if you, in order to connect with these people or this religious group or this cultural group, if in order to connect with them, you have to sever your ties with previous connections, that's the biggest of red flags.
For sure.
If they have asked you, and that's any relationship, I don't care if that's a dating relationship, a religious group, anything, if they, a band you join, like whatever, if they ask that you not see, speak to, or listen to people that have known you your whole life, or at least for a lot longer, like that's not good.
Right.
People who really want you to be happy and healthy want you to stay in communion with people who also want you to be happy and healthy.
Yeah. What do you think about the story? What do you think about it? Does it leave an icky feeling in your tum?
Yeah, because it's gotten the label of a cult, but really, and a woman died, so it's salacious in that way.
Yes.
But I think that kind of thing is, this kind of phenomenon is so pervasive in our American society, of people joining up with other very one-track-minded people and shutting out other things to the point of deafness to reality.
Yeah, to the point of like murder in this case.
And justifying letting someone die
in a
based
horrible
on
way.
Nothing. No
this
proof,
was like,
fact, science, nothing.
Right. I mean, this was a slow death. Mm-hmm. This was a horrific,
painful, agonizing, torturous. And the part where she said, take me to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's where they become criminals for me.
For me too.
Because she wasn't selecting it anymore.
Mm-mm.
Yikes.
Super scary story. It makes me nervous. Like, I don't, you know, nowadays our kids have access. A lot of them just have full access to TikTok and YouTube and whatever. And I always worry that they're in their rooms, their private time, just going down the rabbit hole of videos. And because, you know, the algorithm will just suggest things, and they could go anywhere. They could end up on any forum. They could end up watching any videos.
They could be talking to anybody who's trying to convince them to move away with them, get at the Greyhound station and go meet them somewhere, and they will never see them again.
Right. And it's just so scary to me. And I don't know how to stop it. I don't want to completely take them out of the digital world.
No, you can't, because it's a reality. It's a part of our world. But having open and transparent conversations with our kids about the risks, to the point where they're like, oh, come on, mom. We know. We would never. That's crazy. We know. We would never do anything. I will take, mom, your dumbass for thinking I would even consider that a trillion times before I will risk not saying something because I don't want them to think I'm a dumbass for it.
Do you think you'll tell them this story?
But yeah, we talk about stuff like this. I always have with my kids. I've always talked about things like your body is your body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, adults do not ask children for help with things that children they don't know. Like, can you help me find this place? Can you help me find my puppy? Can you? No, that's rude. I would, because kids understand rudeness and fairness. So I'd be like, it is rude for a grown-up to ask you for help.
Right.
They need to ask a grown-up. Or grown-ups don't ask kids to keep secrets.
Right. You mentioned this in our last podcast.
Surprises are okay, but not secrets.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. From the time they're tiny babies, like, just wanting to plant those seeds of taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
And having a healthy, I guess, a healthy mistrust in... Mm-hmm. In the unknown, like, but also a heavy trust in me. Like, I'm going to understand if any of these things happen and you are not to blame for any of these things. I will be here to help you and support you. Like, that's the underlying this, the, you know, the biggest message is, no matter what, come home. No matter what, tell us.
Yeah. We'll help you through it.
Yep.
Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.